Hello, this is Pastoral Insights, and this is Vincent T. Edwards, your host and pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. You can find out more about us on the internet at www.trueholinesscogic.org and vincenttedwards.com. Pastoral Insights is a program that is designed to share insight, information, wisdom, and knowledge on an array of topics that can benefit individuals, leaders, pastors, churches, ministries, and the entire body of Christ. Today, the topic is the New Testament church, and my guest here today is Dr. Abe Johnson. How are you doing, Dr. Johnson?
I'm well. Thank you for the invitation.
Dr. Abe Johnson is overseer of North American Mission Outreach Service, consisting of Smith Chapel Apostolic Church, USA, Smith Chapel Bible University and Gulf Coast College and Seminary, USA, Education-Based Consultants of America, LLC, USA. His professional expertise includes the following: educator, nonprofit tax compliance consultant, curriculum designer, online education provider, author, and book publishing. Dr. Johnson is also the overseer of South American Mission Outreach Services, consisting of the Three Roses Kingdom Agenda, planted on a 5-acre compound in the La Perla District, Lima, Peru, South America, since 2005. La Perla is a district of the constitutional province of Callao in Peru and one of the seven. Finally, Dr. Johnson's latest kingdom accomplishment as university trustee chair includes the establishment of the First Florida State Department of Education Commission of Independent Education Authorized College of Law and Religion at a Florida nonprofit faith-based institution of higher education. Additionally, he is also the first student to earn the degree of Doctorate of Canon and Civil Law during commencement scheduled for December 17th, 2016. Wow, that's a mouthful. Personal maxim: what we think, what we know, and what we can prove may not be the same. I'm going to stop right there. And my first question, define or clarify that personal maxim.
Thank you for asking. Because we are reality-based by our five senses, we judge that to be true based on what we can observe. When in reality, the easiest way to deceive someone is through their ear gate and their eye gate, or through their senses. And in the real world, which is the spirit world, that which we cannot see.
Okay.
But that which we receive by faith is more real than that which is in the natural world.
Wow.
And I often raise this question: were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when the power of God's Spirit raised him from the dead? But yet we believe it and receive it by faith. We know it to be true. Because for most of us in the listening audience, you have experienced the risen Christ in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own soul, and it directs your daily life. And that is the maximum upon which I stand, and I believe it to be true.
Wow, that's powerful. And it had to be thinking of the concept of how people get into discussions on whether or not God himself exists, and is God real? And that kind of defines, we may not be able to prove, but there is so much, or what I would call a preponderance of evidence, that he does exist. Is that along the same lines as your maxim?
That would be true, but we take that one step further. To raise the question whether or not God exists is to admit that he does. And that's an oxymoron.
That's what to speak to that. Oh my, to raise the question as to whether or not he exists.
In logic, in philosophy, the presupposition is actually the answer to the question.
So that's kind of like me saying or pondering right now, am I for real or am I real? Do I exist? So therefore, in order for me to think that, I must exist.
That's correct. Remember now, I do have a degree in philosophy.
I know you do. And that's why I'm bringing you to Pastoral Insights, because the things that we're going to talk about here and I pray that you share will help the body of Christ to really understand what it is that we are called to do. Because often I say, you know, we look at the church today and I just say it's all about entertainment. And people want to be entertained on a Sunday and go back to doing what they want to do and come back the next Sunday. But are we as Christians, or we as the body of Christ, or we as leaders in the church actually fulfilling the mission that was set forth to us? And that's why I want you to talk about today the New Testament church. How does church itself or the idea of religion differ in the New Testament than from the Old Testament?
Thank you for the question. First of all, it's necessary to put the very question in a historical context.
Okay.
And one way of doing that, at least in my research and study, is to look at the historical perspective as we understand Jehovah's blueprint for institutions of worship.
So there's an actual way it's supposed to be done.
That is correct. But watch this now. If we begin with the principle of the first mention,
mm-hmm.
where any understanding of worship of God has to do with mankind in a covenant relationship, we would have to begin with Joshua's altar.
Okay.
And we find that in Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 to 35, and bits and pieces in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and following, verse 1 through 8. By definition, then, God gave a blueprint for the specific building of an altar upon which he would present himself in his glory for worship by the covenant people. And so what we have here in the historical perspective is that God's presence
mm-hmm.
was made known to his people for the purpose of worship. And the beginning of that understanding begins with the altar. And of course, we are obviously dealing with the Jewish dispensation. Well, when we move up from that particular perspective, we find another interesting historical fact. God also gave blueprints for the building of a tabernacle. The difference being the building of the tabernacle was mobile and it lent itself to the question of the leadership's authority in Moses. And it was more than just a tabernacle. It actually was illustrative or illustrated God's relationship to his people.
So are you saying the design of the building or the tabernacle itself?
The design of the tabernacle itself was illustrative of God's relationship to his people. In other words, God gave then what we understand to be a PowerPoint that accompanied the words of his leaders or his prophets. We call that in theology a visual.
So what did this visual actually say about God himself, if I'm understanding what's happening here or what happened?
The essence of the visual in the tabernacle is similar to the visual in the altar. Simply put, it denotes the relationship that God has with his people